From WHQR Public Media, this is The Newsroom. I'm Ben Schachman. Thanks for joining us. On today's episode, it's a conversation with Harper Peterson, chairman of a new nonprofit, Heal Our People's Endowment. As the name suggests, the organization's goal is bringing about some serious changes to the New Hanover Community Endowment. Now, if you're listening to this, there's a pretty good chance you've been following the story of the endowment, and I don't want to take the several hours or possibly days I would need to fully unpack everything that's happened between the summer of 2019, when the county announced it was exploring the sale of New Hanover Regional Medical Center, and now. So, if you'll bear with me for just a few minutes, I'll give you the highlights. In late 2020 and early 2021, New Hanover County approved the $2 billion sale of NHRMC to Novant. It took $1.3 billion of public money from that sale and put it in a private foundation that was deliberately, explicitly engineered to keep it away from direct political accountability, strip it of the transparency required of government bodies, and lock the money in New Hanover County alone, despite the fact that the hospital had served and was fueled by patient revenue from at least a half dozen more rural, less affluent counties surrounding New Hanover. In 2022, the endowment hired its first CEO, William Buster, and by the end of the year, it disbursed its first round of grants, $9 million worth of funding that was both less than the public had expected and also more chaotic, less strategic than people had hoped. The endowment, for its part, promised to do better in the next round. When that next round came late last year, the lion's share of $53 million in multi-year strategic grants went to a healthcare worker pipeline program, over $20 million that went to Cape Fear Community College, UNCW, the public school system, and the Chamber of Commerce. Now, while the endowment defended the program as being transformative and addressing a real, deadly serious issue of nursing shortages, critics noted that the grant's prime beneficiary was Novant. Other grants made that year were also criticized, as were the grants that hadn't been made, specifically a total lack of funding for affordable housing. Endowment leaders pushed back, saying that was a strategic choice and that a big announcement in the field of housing was coming. 6 months later, though, there's been nothing on the housing front. But there have been big announcements, although not ones everyone has been pleased about. First came the effective removal of Hannah Gage and Dr. Virginia Adams, two founding members of the endowment who had the endorsement of endowment chair Bill Cameron to back up their applications for reappointment. But in a party line vote, Republican New Hanover County commissioners replaced Gage and Adams with Woody White and Patricia Cusack, both former Republican commissioners who had voted for the hospital sale. Officials deny the move was political, but many were unconvinced, and the lack of public conversation around that decision didn't help. Attorney General Josh Stein, who had made diversity on the endowment board a requirement of approving the hospital sale, expressed concern. Dr. Adams was, after all, the county's only appointee of color. But Stein didn't take any action. Then, several months later, the endowment announced that William Buster had resigned, effective immediately. Endowment officials declined to comment further, but it was clear that Buster had been pushed out over differences in where the future of the endowment was going. And Buster's exit appeared to freeze the endowment, which still hasn't hired network officers for some of its focus areas, like education or public safety. And it ended the community engagement work Buster had been doing, from Chatham House Rules meetings with key stakeholders to a promised series of workshops for smaller and younger nonprofits that, well, never materialized. A month after Buster's departure, newly appointed board member Pat Cusack abruptly resigned, without giving a reason. Now, I've heard some interesting speculations on why she left, but I'll save that for another time. I will say her replacement was appointed with barely a word of public conversation. More chaos, more opacity, more frustration in the community. And just last month, the Community Advisory Council, a group of over a dozen members representing many facets of the local community, wrote a letter to the endowment leadership, saying they had barely been tapped for their chartered purpose of providing expertise and reports on key community issues to the endowment board. They'd been ignored. When we asked the endowment about it, the board's chair and vice chair declined an interview. They sent a statement instead. Attorney General Josh Stein's office noted that they were, again, aware of the concerns and that they were looking into it. But over a month after that letter was sent, they don't appear to have done anything. Stein himself had required the creation of the Community Advisory Council as a condition of approving the hospital sale and the creation of the endowment. but it's not clear what, if anything, would prompt Stein, a Democrat who is entrenched in a tough campaign against Republican Mark Robinson for the governor's office, to take action. It's not even clear what authority the AG's office has. Neither Stein or his staff have responded to questions about that. Okay, that brings us up to just about now, and my sit-down with Peterson. Peterson was a vocal critic of the hospital sale and a supporter of Save Our Hospital, a nonprofit founded to oppose that process. It's worth noting that the old Save Our Hospital Facebook page has been converted into the current Heal Our People's Endowment page. As you'll hear, it's a through line for Peterson. It's worth remembering, Peterson was a sitting state senator during the hospital sale, and his stance might have made him some friends, but it cost him, too. Now, he's more of a community organizer, and I'll let him explain what he hopes Heal Our People's Endowment can do in more detail. But he's mostly hoping he can get Josh Stein off of the bench and more engaged with our community. He'd also like to see the endowment be more transparent, even if they aren't legally required to do that. And he'd like to see the Community Advisory Council actually do the thing it was created to do. As you'll hear, we get into all of that. Now, it's no exaggeration to say the stakes here are really high. Within a few years, the IRS will require the endowment to deliver $60 million or more to the community every year. And that has the potential to do a lot of good, an almost unimaginable amount of good. And the endowment will be around for a long time, technically in perpetuity. So unless the stock market completely collapses or a comet hits the Earth, it'll be around for generations. And that means, relatively speaking, we're talking about a very young institution. And there's plenty of time to discuss, as a community, where we want the endowment to go and what we want it to look like. But there's also a risk that bad policy could sediment into the status quo, sticking us with problems that become more intractable with time and inertia. Okay, here's our interview with Harper Peterson. All right, my guest is Harper Peterson. He is the chairman of Heal Our People's Endowment, a nonprofit founded to take a closer look and have perhaps some more public scrutiny and control over the New Hanover Community Endowment. Harper Peterson, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So give me a little backstory. I think we will have plenty of background information links that people can check if they have not been following the story of endowment. But give me your history of following this and why you wanted to create Heal Our People's Endowment.
Well, let's go back 4 years. In May of 2019, when I received a phone call from a sitting county commissioner, sharing with me the fact that the commission was considering the sale of the hospital, and wouldn't that be great? That was 4 months prior to a public announcement that the county commission was considering it. I think that came out in September. That got my attention. I received a call a few days later. Please keep this under your hat. So as a sitting state senator, I felt a responsibility to my constituents to pay attention. And I was very vocal at the time and probably burnt my powder early, and today I'm just a drum beater, trying to engage the public. We have concerns, our 501c3, regarding the operation, management, performance of the endowment board, and that includes leadership changes, funding priorities, the involvement of the public through the Community Advisory Council, and the political impact, influence, specifically from former county commissioners who are architects of this, and also the county manager and his involvement with the latest endowment application from New Hanover Public Schools.
Yeah. So let's break this down a little bit. I mean, there's been a lot of conversation, but not a lot of clarity on the departure of William Buster, the former CEO and president, the inaugural CEO and president of the endowment. I know your organization has some concerns about that. I certainly have heard that from elsewhere in the community. What is your view on what happened there?
You know, we had a listening session in December 19th, Mr. Cameron, the chairman, and Mr. Buster. It was a listening session, and out of that, continued frustration and questions, but also potential hope that actions would be taken to continue to engage the community through nonprofits and just do a better job. It was a young organization. We understand that. And you trip and fall and you get up. But Buster was going to be very conscientious, along with his staff and the board, in continuing to engage in the community. So a month later, he's gone suddenly. And it's been now 3 months without leadership. It's, for me, it's like a city without a city manager. I mean, and it doesn't function. And I wonder what's going on. I've asked questions. I've inquired through the staff. And it's kind of a dead end. So, but our primary focus, singular focus, really is to engage the Attorney General. This is not Harper Peterson, you know, investigating the endowment and what their operation. We think the Attorney General has the statutory responsibility, the obligation to continue to oversee the operations and the expenditures of public assets. This hospital was and is a charitable entity. When it was created back in 1961, it took the poor black hospital, community hospital, James Walker White Hospital, and through a referendum in the height of the civil rights movement, created one hospital. And that was an important moment, I think, in our history on a lot of levels.
Absolutely. And it took a couple of tries.
Yeah, it was a second, I think. Yeah. And it was barely passed, and it was an inner city precinct, a black precinct that got them over the top. There was trust, and there was a promise of equitable health care and access to health care. So that's a seminal moment in our history. And fast forward, or slowly forward to 1986, when the board of directors of the hospital made a change, an amendment to the Articles of Incorporation, stating that the hospital assets would always remain charitable in its purpose. And I thought that was an important statement then. And again, now we fast forward to 2020. The hospital is sold. A lot of public concern, unrest. And it's become more and more a private entity, a charitable fund, charitable hospital, but privately run. And we see that again in the performance of this board over the last 6 months. Specifically.
Sure. So I know some people do talk about what's going on at our hospital and what's going on in endowment sort of in the same breath, but you're mostly concerned with the New Hanover Community Endowment and asking the Attorney General's office to do a number of things. Can we break down a little bit what, in a perfect world, the AG, whether that's the current Attorney General Josh Stein or the subsequent AG, in a perfect world, what would the AG's office be doing?
Presently, I think he would engage the public, because one of his terms to sign off on this 3 years ago, or 3.5 years ago, was not only to add two additional board members to add diversity and skill, but also to create a community advisory council. That was essential. He's very specific about what that would accomplish. That is the heart and soul of this endowment. It should be going forward. If we're going to talk about transformative change and generational change, you've got to have the public involved. And if it's going to impact in a positive way every citizen, more so. If you talk to people on the CAC, C-A-C, the Community Advisory, there's frustration there.
They've actually written a letter to Bill Cameron and Shannon Winslow outlining their frustrations. They basically said that they haven't been utilized at all. Their expertise hasn't been tapped, and they don't have a seat at the table.
Yeah. I think that in itself should get the attention of the Attorney General. So we'll leave that for now. Another interesting that came, was apparent to me in the last few days, their RFP for a new CEO to replace Mr. Buster. And if you look at the requirements, the job description, but the requirements for skills and experience, at the very bottom, as an afterthought, they mentioned that it would be preferable if the candidate had experience with nonprofits and also with philanthropy, progressive philanthropy. philanthropy, I think it's stated, that should be at the top of the list. We need someone who has worked in this realm, who understands nonprofits. Nonprofits are on the ground working hard, addressing all the key pillars of this foundation in their mission and vision: health, safety, education, community development. That's who should be at the heart of this. And just as an afterthought, I don't want to disparage it, but as a secondary requirement, I think that should be number one, not last.
I know I have heard a great deal of concern in the community about, one, the absence of leadership, as you pointed out, over the last couple of months. Ship without a captain for months on end seems problematic. And it seems to have ground a lot of what the endowment was trying to do to a halt. To your point about that listening session, William Buster had promised something called Nonprofit 101 or Endowment 101, where they would be bringing in some of the younger, greener, smaller nonprofits that are the backbone of the nonprofit community in this region, and, you know, helping them build capacity and get to a place where they could get grants from the endowment. And I don't know what has become of that, but it's certainly not happening right now.
I'm not aware of anything happening, and that frustration lingers and grows.
But I do think there are some concerns about what kind of person they will hire, whether this will be someone who is a convener and a visionary, or whether it will be a sort of a middle management type person.
There have been concerns that it would be strictly a business administrator or someone with political influence in the community. That's one of the other concerns we've raised in our petition and the adjoining letter from our attorneys that we've retained. We focused on leadership changes regarding Virginia Adams, Dr. Adams, mm-hmm. engaged with two former county commissioners that were architects of the sale, and also funding priorities, the fact that Novant was the recipient of the largest strategic grant, $22+ million, when they're investing over $500 million in offshore tax credit havens.
Yeah, I saw that, yes. That's reporting in Port City Daily.
That was of concern. But in addition to that was the community involvement through the Community Advisory Council. And the last is the political influence interference. And we saw that with the article, I don't know who ran it a week and a half or two ago, but I think your news media folks ran an article yesterday about an $8.7 million request for literacy assistance. But it was a last-minute, plea for money to fill a budget gap or shortfall. And the county manager was encouraging county commissioners to lobby board members to approve it. I mean, that sets a bad precedent, because we know that county commissions are a political vehicle or animal that change every two years in election. And if you're trying to align two strategic plans, the county commission's strategic plan with the endowment, and they're stopping and starting in new directions every 2 to 4 years, that's a recipe for disaster. Nothing's going to get done. I think we need that independent separation from the endowment, from political influence.
I think that has been, for people who have followed this, that's been an interesting question. I've had some pretty in-depth conversations with County Manager Chris Coudray about this, who at one point in an email wrote that it scared him to death that the endowment, his words, not mine, that the endowment was sort of drifting away from the county's strategic plan. There has always been this sense that the endowment needed to be, even from the county's point of view, that the endowment needed to be independent, but at the same time that it needed to be, in some sense, also yoked to the county strategic plan. And I think some people feel like if the endowment is just sort of an auxiliary organ of the county, that's not real independence. That sounds like that's your point of view.
Yeah, and if we're going to talk in terms of transformative change and good for everyone, it's not going to happen that way. Again, the hospital was created through a referendum in 1961. We asked in 2019 for a referendum by the people to decide whether they wanted to sell their asset, their charitable asset. Never happened. It was left in the hands of five elected individuals who were supposedly representing the people's will. It was never on the election in 2018. Wasn't an issue, but they made it an issue. Don't want to get into the politics of it, and I'm not predicting or encouraging a political position on this. We want to stay apolitical because whether you're Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. It needs to be out of your hands, and we're seeing that. We're seeing just the opposite. Strategic plan. We've heard comments from city and county commissioners that it's their money, and they want to use it where they think it's best. And again, I think that's contrary to what the endowment should be.
Yeah, going back to your point about the removal, the effective removal of Dr. Virginia Adams and Hannah Gage over the request of Bill Cameron, who's the chair, who asked the county to reappoint them.
Right.
Not only did they remove the county's only appointee of color, but they also removed a well-qualified medical expert. So when we talk about diversity, we're not just talking about checking a racial box. We're talking about, you know, diversity of experience, diversity of, you know, background. And the AG's office did not do anything about that, despite the fact that it was his insistence that the endowment right. add two additional. Right. So, I mean, is that something you'd like to see the AG basically get in the fray with?
Well, I think he needs to respond to it. He expressed concern. Again, if we can, we've invited him to come down, if he'll meet with the community, not just me and our board, but the people at large, nonprofits, it might be a series of meetings. But listen, a real listening session of what concerns we have, a community has. I think that would be productive. And I think we might get the ear of the board of directors in the county commission. And the third element, Novant. Again, they have six sitting members, continue to have that. If you ask me personally if I think we needed to reshuffle the makeup of the board of directors, I would give you an honest answer.
So in your perfect world, what would the board of director makeup look like?
A majority, a vast majority, would be community representation that has expertise, experience, profound interest in health, public safety, public education, and community development in those areas.
So would those be appointed, you know, again, in a perfect world, would those be appointed by the endowment, appointed by the county?
Ben, I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that, but I think there are other good models out there that we can draw from, very successful endowments throughout the country. Why not take a close look, continue that examination and reflection? Again, $1.25 billion. Generating 50 plus or minus million a year, as you and others have said, is a really big deal. Impact for generation upon generation. Get this right, and the implications can be very scary if we don't.
I mean, they have the $1.3 billion. The IRS in a couple of years is going to require them to start spending 5% of that at least. And so, yeah, to your point, $60 million. So, I mean, I think part of what I'm hearing you say and what I'm taking away from Heal Our People's Endowment is that a good first step would be to have a broader public conversation about this because, and you and I have talked about this, it feels a little weird how little this gets publicly talked about. I mean, the appointments of Woody White and Pat Cusack happened with no real discussion. The appointment of Mary Rouse, who replaced Pat Cusack, happened with very little discussion. This is, as a journalist, I feel like this is one of the biggest stories in our region, and yet it's really not something you hear that much about. But every time I talk to someone on the street, they're very interested and concerned.
Well, if nothing else, our petition, which now is above 1,000, our goal was 1,000, so we've hit that first ceiling. Our goal was 5,000. But I see it also as a public poll. You know, we've had limited means to get it out. We're working through, you know, social media, word of mouth, cards, with QR codes. But I think that's an impressive start for 4 weeks. And a lot of the signatures come with comments. And it's two areas. The performance of our hospital, which is not a positive, and the secretiveness of the endowment.
Yeah.
And who's handling the money and for whose purpose? Are we self-dealing, or is this a special, you know, agenda? Again, people really feel offended by this because they feel they had a great facility. You know the rest of the story.
I know the rest of the story, and I think a lot of the people in our community know the story. We do have some serious reporting coming about the hospital.
The story that broke, again, just from a personal standpoint, not as chairman or associated with the 501c3, but the B rating from the independent.
From Leapfrog.
Okay. This is a public health institution. I happen to be in the restaurant business. You were in the restaurant business, I believe.
That's correct.
Anything less than an A from a public health official was a fail.
When in New York City, where I lived with my wife for almost a decade, they required you to put the letter grade in the window. And there were many restaurants that would proudly put a gold frame around the A. And if they got a B, there would often be like a fern in front of it. You know, people weren't thrilled about having a B.
Well, the headlines I read today were they were very satisfied with a B.
That was, I will say, it is an interesting contrast in 2022 when they got a B from Leapfrog. And that grade comes largely but not entirely from the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services. Comes from federal government, which has given the hospital a 2-star out of 5-star ratings, which is also not great.
Right.
2 years ago, they put us in touch with an executive vice president to sort of walk us through some of the issues and how they were working on it. And this year, the response was simply that they were pleased with the B. And that that seems to me to imply that a B is good enough. And when I talk to people in the community, they don't feel that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, another story. And again, I think other people can speak to this.
Sure. I want to get back to the issue of transparency and, as you put it, secrecy of the endowment. The current setup, you know, they have a listening session, which, we all appreciate. But the board's actual meetings are private. The minutes aren't public. Mm-hmm. This was by design. You and I were both there during the protracted conversations about how to put this together and the fairly cynical explanations for why it should not be a public body that were given by their consultant.
Right, their attorney, I believe.
Yeah, right. Don Mumford, who they hired,
if it was open meetings, public record, this would be bad. Was it undemocratic, or I had to redefine what democracy is in a community? But it should have been the other way around, and there should be open meetings and public records. Why would we be concerned of hiding anything? We need to have the debate, issues and positions discussed at length. We need to be able to be creative and imaginative, and that can come out in meetings that can be shared with the community. Community can provide input in those areas. They've really taken the heart and soul out of the endowment, in my mind, because people should be allowed to dream. Nonprofits have dreams. Limited budgets, they work hard, but I'd love to hear where they see this going with regard to early childhood development. I'm a big fan of Smart Start. 0 to 5, the first 2,000 days of a child's life. And the opportunity we have in that realm excites me to no end. And I'm sure the practitioners in that entity, a nonprofit, feel that way. What they could do, because that's the foundation of a strong community. Good health, good education, and you have to start at childbirth. And again, we're kind of just ad hoc giving grants out here and there, but there's no overriding mission or strategic plan, comprehensive, thoughtful, profound plan on how we are going to use this idea of transformative. I mean, that's a big word.
That is a big word, and I don't think if I'm being honest and fair, I don't think the endowment has done a good job of explaining what they mean by transformational change. I think William Buster tried and didn't get across the finish line.
Let me say this. I have all the respect in the world for every individual on the board presently. Okay, that may sound, I'm not being totally honest, but I do as individuals. But as a board, I just understand how they're functioning. And I would love to see Mr. Cameron, the chairman, post December 19th listening session 4 months ago, hold a press conference or just reach out to the community and let them know where we were then with the anticipation leaving that meeting and where we are today. Disclose what you want, but at least engage the community, because nobody knows. I mean, I reach out and, you know, I have to communicate with the communications director. That's the only access I have. They are cut off from the community. Yet they say we're doing the best we can for every citizen. There's a paradox there, or you know, if that's the right word, but there's a disconnect there. So.
You mentioned, you know, the concerns about self-dealing. I think the issue I've heard most often related to that idea is the, you know, the nursing pipeline grant that went to Cape Fear Community College, UNCW, and the school district that attempts to solve a crucial issue for Novant, which is, you know, recruiting and retaining nurses. My sense is that you feel like this was maybe not the right move.
Well, this is you know, portrayed as a national crisis, and it is, you know. But within Novant, if you speak to off the record, because staff doesn't like to make public comment. I mean, they don't want to put themselves in jeopardy. But there's morale issues there. They're overworked, underpaid, pensions are disappearing. They're burnt. There's burnout. They're hitting the road, traveling. That's the problem. Okay, nurses and healthcare workers are like teachers, educators. I mean, the most important professionals in our community, the essential workers, and how do we treat them? So that's the core of the problem right there. They need to get their house in order and take their hands out of the community pot, the charitable pot. That's just a bad, not only bad image, but that's a bad precedent set by the endowment. Again, the fact that we now know that they are investing hundreds of millions, and why can't they take care of their own problems? Why do they have to come back to the public?
So you'd like to see, and your organization would like to see, the Attorney General, either Josh Stein or whoever succeeds Josh Stein, be more engaged with our community. You'd like to see the endowment be more engaged in our community, be more open. What else would you like to see?
A brief life into the Community Advisory Council. I mean, that would be a start. You mentioned a letter, so that's essential right there. I'd like to see the discussion. I think it's been shut down, but I'd like it. See a discussion that moves beyond the county line. I don't know what the percentage is of the number of workers that work at the hospital, okay? Over 7,500, 8,000 workers. But just in the last few weeks, I lived downtown watching the traffic back up in the afternoon, having to come down 3rd Street, gave me an impression or an idea of how many people live outside this county that work here are the lifeblood of our community. How many people work in the hospital, in our public schools, at a university, in the small businesses, okay, that drive the economy, the success of this county? And we talk about housing, okay? It's got to be a regional challenge, not a local. All of these things are regional, and if we don't accept the fact that this hospital was built on the goodwill and the investment of people in 7 counties, over 500,000 people, not the small 230, then we're missing a big opportunity, not just, you know, it's not right.
I will tell you, we have some on-the-record public frustration from elected officials in our neighboring counties. To your point, if you drive through Hampstead or out through Leland, you will see New Hanover County Sheriff's Officer vehicles, Wilmington Police Department. Yeah. I know WPD actually had to increase the range as the crow flies, that you could take your work vehicle because of the housing issue, pushing people further into other counties. So I take your point. And the Attorney General himself, Josh Stein, actually said on the record that this endowment should not be limited to New Hanover County, but he has not done anything to sort of even engage in conversation about changing that. I know the county has been very adamant that it should be New Hanover County only. It seemed like they whipped the board and William Buster in line with that sense. But at the same time, it seems to me logistically difficult to understand how we could continue to spend $60 million a year without it even just accidentally spilling over into our neighboring counties. So I don't know how long you could keep it in New Hanover County.
I don't want to get to that point and have to answer that question or see how they handle it again. I think it's going to naturally expand sooner than later. And it's for the good of the county and everybody in it.
So you're at a little over 1,000 signatures. Your next goal is 5,000 signatures. What comes after that?
Again, we're reaching out. I know our attorneys are reaching out to the Attorney General's office. They have not heard back. It's been over a month. And again, this is not a political gamut. The Attorney General has a responsibility. His first responsibility is to the citizens of this state. So we think we're found good foundational ground in asking him to come down and address an issue that's impacting not only 230,000, but a region. We have every hope and, confidence that he'll come. We also want to, at some point, it's not a one-time deal with Attorney General Stein. This is in perpetuity, just like the money that's going to be generated. The future attorney generals need to realize their statutory responsibility and to take that seriously.
And in 6 months, one way or another, we will have a new attorney general.
Of course.
And so you've mentioned that you either have or plan to reach out to those candidates.
Yeah. And again, I can't think of a better, more fertile ground to invest in health and education, safety and economic development for the benefit of everybody, those that are just getting by and those that are doing very well in this county. It would be a better day for everybody. I think we need to look at it that way.
All right. Well, Harper Peterson, chairman of Heal Our People's Endowment, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
That was our interview with Harper Peterson, chairman of Heal Our People's Endowment. I'm Ben Shockman. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us for the next edition of The Newsroom.